Trey. Yeah.
It's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood.
Thanks for good. We're good to hood.
On ESPN 1000.
Gone back to Markkanen. He fires. He goes.
Sir. Jim Boylan's in, and all of a sudden now he's going to try to turn things around for the Bulls, trying to make sure that the cultures change. You ain't changing no culture, man. All roads lead to Garn Pax. That's the thing.
Jonathan Hood.
So, yes, I have seen the Cooks wear these New Balance before also because it's a comfortable shoe, but it's not necessarily an appealing shoe. Felix, do you have a New Balance in your closet? Have you ever worn New Balance?
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
I don't have New Balances in my closet, but I will be honest, I did own a pair.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Rocking with khakis, didn't you?
Yeah.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Jonathan Hood. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Bleck. We're live from the First Midwest Bank studio. We're here till 9 o'clock. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. In about 10 minutes, we will talk with Sean Powell from NBA.com about the league. We will talk with Tim Anderson, White Sox shortstop, at 8:30. Lots to do over the course of the next hour, Jonathan. But I wanted to start you with this. Busy night in the NBA. About 10 games going on in the association tonight.
What isn't it busy in the NBA?
Well, I know, right? The Bulls are at halftime right now. They lead 56-52 over the Los Angeles Clippers. How about that?
Oh, no, Bill. I thought we were taking...
Hutchinson leads the Bull. Hutchinson has 12 points. LaVine has 14 points. 12 from Parker off the bench. Markkanen with two, only three shots on the night so far for Lauri Markkanen. The only player on the court that anyone cares about has taken three shots. He's 0 for 3 with 2 points.
Poor Cashel having to make up stuff, trying to shine up that nonsense over there on the west side.
Who do you think he's talking to during halftime, his interview?
Somebody from Black McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah. What's the White Sox training academy?
Oh, yeah.
He's probably got one of those interviews rolling tonight.
White Sox, yeah. Bulls Sox Academy. It's gonna be great.
Every other night it was Friedel back in the day. Remember that?
Right, exactly.
Can't do it anymore. Okay, so before we broke last, Jonathan, I mentioned to you, did you see what happened with LeBron James this afternoon? And if you're unaware, maybe if you follow LeBron James on Instagram, you may know what I'm talking about. Did you see what he put on Instagram today?
I've been on Instagram a lot today. I did not see what LeBron posted, though.
So LeBron's on Instagram. In the back of, it looks like some very fancy car. He's not driving. He's sitting in the back seat. He's singing along with a song that's playing on the screen. It says, at Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
This, that joint.
Oh.
This, that joint, at Kyrie Irving. The song that's playing in the background is Rewind by Fetty Wap.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, it's notable.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's the league. Some of the lyrics in the Fetty Wap song, Rewind, it's basically about a girl that went to a different guy and he wishes he could press rewind to bring her back. This is your league, John. This is what's going on.
This is amazing.
In the NBA. Why are Kyrie and LeBron flirting across the country? What is going on here?
That's just that's pretty much one way or the other. This goes back to a couple of weeks ago where Kyrie Irving apologized to LeBron James. I didn't understand what we were going through. I just wanted to have my own joint. I should have understood as a leader what you were trying to do. And now it's almost like on bended knee, please take me back. Like, it's like, is the leadership way too heavy for your shoulders in Boston?
It must be, right? Here's a lyric, right? I know you're with him now, but soon you will be mine. If I could bring it back, I'd probably press rewind.
Oh, my goodness.
This is what LeBron's listening to and tagging Kyrie, this, that joint, in the back of his car today in Los Angeles.
Two ways to look at it, okay? Two ways to look at it. One way is this is a song that they used to jam out to.
Sure.
together when they were together in Cleveland. Or the second way to look at it is, I miss you. I wish you could help me with this Lakers situation because these clowns around here are not going to get me to the mountaintop. So it'd be great to have my Robin back as I lead this team as Batman.
It is notable. Kyrie will be a free agent in the summer.
And
the Lakers need a point guard.
Those that don't understand the league, you have to understand that it's, first of all, it's 12 months a year. It's not like it was in the past. The NFL used to be 12 months a year, but it's just not the games. It's the inner workings of how players communicate each other on social media. It's interesting because you can read into it. It just expands the conversation. It's very interesting. So here's what we can look for. We can look for in the offseason, LeBron James being able to recruit not just on the phone, not just through text, but through social media, saying, I'm going to need some extra guys just so you know I'm thinking about you in January because you could be with me next October. It's crazy.
Well, and it also goes to why it's concerning to what we're seeing with the Bulls, right? Because players know. Think about it. The Celtics were struggling. Kyrie comes out. He said he talked to LeBron. If that didn't happen, if they weren't struggling, this LeBron post on Instagram, which we're making a big deal out of. It's just a post on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't happen if LeBron didn't already know that Kyrie was struggling with the Celtics, right? Like that's why players across the league, they know. They know it's a dumpster fire here in Chicago. They know they want nothing to do with it, right? But the Lakers, they got cap space in the summer. They need a point guard, and Kyrie will be a free agent, and they have a past history together. Rewind, Fetty Wap. How about that?
That's just the best.
Isn't that great?
And of course, the Bull fan is thinking, well, who's Zach LaVine hitting up on IG or something?
Etuan Moore?
Who's Bobby Portis hitting up on Tumblr? Hey, I want to know. Let me ask you. Jabari, he's been around a while. Who's he hitting up on the MySpace? Yeah, exactly. Hey, let me ask you. I mean, Lopez has been around. Who's he hitting up on Black Planet to have some players around?
Black Planet?
here you go. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So that's the question. And so that's what you get. This is what you got. I mean, right there for you on Instagram, a conversation between a Laker and a Celtic. And from the Bulls standpoint, you know.
And you're left out once again, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, I mean, man.
They're skipping over here. They're skipping Chicago, going coast to coast with their communication, and they're trying to get something settled. It's just it. But here's the thing: all that buzz, social media buzz, it's never here between players.
No, because no one wants to be here.
Right?
No one wants to be a part of it. But for some reason, Bulls fans think they're going to sign the next hot free agent in the summer.
It's crazy.
Good luck with that. All right, Chris Black and Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We now go to NBA.com and talk with Sean Powell, who joins this show. It's Chris and Jonathan. How are you, Sean?
Chris, Jonathan, what's going on, guys?
Powell to the people, all the people, Sean.
There you go. There you go.
Sean, we were just joking about, did you see by chance the Instagram video from LeBron James today tagging Kyrie and the back and forth that they're having currently within the media? We were joking about it and how it's so funny that now Kyrie says he calls LeBron and now LeBron's trying to make plays through social media that these two are buddies again. And we're just speculating and wondering if Kyrie's eventually going to wind up with LeBron in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that'll be kind of interesting. You know, not only that, is LeBron going to, you know, draft him for the NBA All-Star game, too, or is he going to pass him up? But look, I never thought those guys, there was any bad blood between those guys. How could it be? I mean, they won a championship together. When you win a championship with someone, I mean, you're brothers for life. You know, Kyrie did LeBron a huge, huge favor hitting that shot. And I don't think there's anything that could get between them, at least not from LeBron's side, because, you know, he had to win the championship in Cleveland, and he couldn't do that without Kyrie.
Sean, who is the first half MVP of the league, and why is it James Harden?
So we're going to, if we discount the first 10 or 15 games, where I'm not saying James Harden was terrible those games, I have to go back and look, but, you know, the Rockets were obviously sinking like a rock. I think Giannis has been the most consistent player from opening night till now. But having said that, look what James Harden is doing. I mean, he is just, you know, I wasn't born when Wilt Chamberlain played. So when you see those charts where it's just Wilt and one sprinkling of Kobe or Michael, and then there's James Harden on the list, you know. I mean, to be included on that list, and not only that, to be able to lift your team in the top five or six in the West and doing it without Chris Paul, I just think that's just magnificent. Now, the question is whether how long he's going to be able to hold up doing that. I know Chris Paul is due back probably within another week or two, but what James Harden are we going to see in the postseason? I know there's a lot of basketball to be played between now and then, but that's the next question with James Harden.
Sean, do you view James Harden's game as a good thing for the NBA or a bad thing? A lot of people kind of like the poke holes and the fact that it's all ISO and it's unassisted and all this stuff. But I watch it and I'm thoroughly entertained, and I love watching someone who's so good offensively dominate the league.
You know, I'm probably at a little bit of the opposite. I appreciate and respect his skill and what he can do, but I cannot stand watching him play basketball. I mean, wow. Look, maybe I'm a little bit old school, but the whole let your teammates stand around the perimeter while you go ISO ball on your man, I mean, it's just so repetitious. I mean, I like ball movement. I like players cutting, backdoor plays, whatever. Why does Mike D'Antoni even call it a huddle? I mean, really, during the timeout, what are they talking about? You know what you're going to do, spread the floor and get the ball to James Harden. So it just, to me, this gets pretty tiresome. But again, maybe I'm just, you know, stuck in back in 1990s basketball when the ball moved a little bit more.
Sean Powell from NBA.com on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. When you see Giannis Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee, Sean, does he remind you of anyone in basketball's past?
Wow, I don't know who in basketball, first of all, had that body. There's not an ounce of body fat on him. Mm-hmm. But not only that, when you did see players with that body, they weren't basketball players. They were athletes. You know, they just could just run up and down the floor and jump out of the gym. But they couldn't dribble, couldn't shoot, you know, couldn't understand the nuances of the game, all those things. And I'm not saying Giannis is this basketball professor yet. You know, he's still young. He's still trying to learn everything about the game. But he's a much more complete player than I would have thought he would have been coming into the league when he was very, very raw. So I credit him, number one, for getting into amazing shape. Number two, developing his outside shot to the point where you have to respect it, whereas a couple of years ago you didn't have to respect it as much. And, of course, you know, being able to lift the Bucks. I'm not saying the Bucks have no talent on that roster, but when you look at the Bucks right now and how they're able to rise to the top in the East, it really all centers around Giannis and what he's able to do for that team offensively and defensively.
You know, we kind of joked about Kyrie maybe ending up with LeBron one day. A lot of people coming into the season thought the Celtics were going to be the best team in the East. Why do you think they've struggled to this point in the season, five games back of Milwaukee?
That's been the biggest mystery to me. I just, before the season started, I'm looking at a healthy Celtics team, and I'm thinking, you know, hey, they're rolling. I mean, I'm thinking 65, 66 games, they're going to win. And pretty much, I wouldn't say they would win the East comfortably, but I didn't think they would be threatened too much. But, you know, look, here they are, what, in fifth place? Now, look, they're just, you know, five games from the top spot. But there are some trouble signs. I mean, Gordon Hayward, you know, I know he's coming off an injury and everything, but when do we get to see more hints of the Gordon Hayward he was in Utah and the Gordon Hayward before the injury? A great coach, good leader in Kyrie, at least, you know, I guess so, and a good player nonetheless, and, you know, good supporting help and everything, but for whatever reason they haven't put it together, to me it's just a big mystery. I haven't been able to figure it out. I don't know if you have the answers, but I certainly don't.
Sean, is there a team so far that has surprised you here amongst the teams in the East and the West?
Well, I mean, if you mean surprise in terms of a good surprise, you have to say the Brooklyn Nets. Although I didn't think they would be terrible this year, but here they are, three games over 500, making a serious bid for the playoffs, being very tough to beat at home, you know, and then you've got D'Angelo Russell really maturing and playing some good basketball next to Spencer Dinwiddie. I would probably have to say the Brooklyn Nets, although then when you look at the West, I see more disappointing surprises. I'm surprised the Wolves aren't better, particularly, you know, with Carl Anthony Towns putting up some respectable numbers. I'm surprised the Pelicans are where they are. I understand, you know, they have some injuries and everything, but still, Anthony Davis having a monster year, and he can't carry the Pelicans the way James Harden has been able to carry the Rockets. I'm a little surprised by that. You know, maybe a little, you know, unexpected surprise on the positive end in the West is the Spurs. You could argue with two All-Stars, they should be five games over 500. But I didn't see any the same Spurs-like cohesion for the first month and a half of the season, and they've turned it on since Christmas.
The Denver Nuggets are currently second in the Western Conference at 31-15. Do you think they are good enough to get to the conference finals this year in the Western playoffs?
Hard to say, only because, with the exception of maybe Paul Millsap, I don't see many players on that team playing a significant role, that is, you know, with the experience of going deep in the playoffs. Now, some people might say experience is overrated. Look at the Warriors when they first won their first championship, other than Andre Iguodala, who had experience. So I understand that. You know, their key players are still kind of young, probably don't know what real playoff basketball is all about since they didn't make it last year. They lost in the final game of the season to Minnesota. So I think as they go along in the postseason, you know, it's going to be an eye-opening experience for a lot of them.
Is it surprising to you that Paul George has played as well as he had? He's in the MVP conversation for the Thunder, and some nights he's outplaying Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with Westbrook being able to, being first of all, accepting of Paul George in a way where maybe he wasn't with Kevin Durant, and really going out of his way to, you know, assure Paul George that he made the right decision in re-signing with Oklahoma City. I mean, so far that tandem has worked out pretty well.
Sean, we appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on with us tonight here on ESPN 1000.
Anytime, guys.
That's Sean Paul from NBA.com. Paul and Jonathan, take a look. Did you see Paul George the other night? He was so good.
Yeah.
And like, it's offense and defense, and I don't know if anyone really expected Paul George to ever get back to that defensive level that he was before he got hurt. That crazy injury that he had before the USA basketball. He's been outstanding. I would vote for him as an MVP, not as the number one guy, but he'd be on the ballot.
He definitely is in the conversation. When we look at the Thunder, we know that a lot of the attention goes to Russell Westbrook because he plays with such a ruthless aggression, and he has not shot the ball the way he usually shoots the ball. But the focus for me is how Paul George has been able to carry this team. Paul George was never some wallflower second banana anyway. We saw what he did with the Indiana Pacers, and so I just think that with Russell not shooting the ball as well as the Thunder would like, Paul George has been able to win some games for the Thunder, so this is no surprise to me.
You surprised at third in the West, though?
Well, we're going to see if the Nuggets can be able to hang in there. I think that's one thing we got to look at. That Nuggets game against Utah the other night was pretty strong. Listen to that coming from Oshkosh the other night. That was a heck of a game. That was for sure. By the way, can I just mention this about the about the New Orleans Saints? I got to bring this up.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that this Saints thing where this penalty that was not called is still a thing. Wasn't the game Sunday?
Outrage, Jonathan. There's outrage against the NFL.
Chris, why is this still a story? It's Friday the 25th. I just turn on SportsCenter, and there's still Will Cain,
yes,
and there's still Stephen A.
Yeah.
Still talking about this play. Listen, I wonder where people have been, all right? I'm a college football fan. You're a college football fan. I'm more of a college football fan than even you are. Okay, so because if I had my choice, I would prefer Saturdays over Sundays. I will watch college football from 11 a.m. until the Hawaii game at 1 in the morning. That's just me.
Yeah.
But when I do put on the NFL, because that's part of my job, it's not like we haven't seen controversial plays from NFL officials every single week in that league. But there's a lot of things wrong with the NFL. And one of them on that list is the NFL officiating. That call that went against the Saints is really what we see a lot of in the NFL every week. Now, of course, everyone's watching it. Everyone's under the tent because there's children and there's women and there's non-football fans. And everyone's under the tent because they want to find out who's going to go to the Super Bowl, right? Well, I mean, here's the thing. Bad calls is part and parcel of the NFL every single week. Yeah, it costs the Saints an opportunity to go. But are we still talking about this where you have the head coach, Sean Payton, saying, well, yeah, you know, I talked to the commissioner. He says that they blew the call, too. Well, you can't get it back now, pal. It's over.
Not to go Dan Le Batard on you, but do you know how much free content that one blown call created for this company this week?
A week's worth of content?
Every day.
You're not going to change it, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, that content was sparked to all these debates on changing rules. Should we have replay for pass interference? Should we have replay for this, that, and the other, right? All this different referendum on refs and what we're doing in games. I kind of agree with you because it's a part of the game. You can't have a review system for each and every call and each and every penalty. Otherwise, you're not playing football anymore because you could probably find something to call a flag on each and every play during the game.
Yes.
I think there is a level of the referees just having to be better and just making the call next time and getting it right. But it doesn't have anything to do with review. Review is for stepping inbounds or out of bounds, getting the football across the end zone or not. That's where review is for. Not trying to see if he's pulling on his sleeve a little bit too hard to figure out whether or not it's pass interference. You know, there's a flow to the game that has to happen. Now, let me also state, that penalty was pass interference.
Of course.
I'm not trying to debate on behalf of the Rams saying that, oh, it wasn't pass interference. It was a blown call.
Yes.
Move on.
There's plenty of those, though. That's not anything new, though.
It's crazy. It is a full week, and it's like, are people really bent out of shape so much that they had to have the Saints in the Super Bowl? Is that why this has continued on through the entire week?
They're just looking for a better opponent to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's not going to be the Rams?
No, it's not going to happen. So,
I mean, the Rams are the second-ranked team in DVOA the entire season.
Well, I know what you can do with those stats.
Well, yes, can do it. I can shove them somewhere. Is that what you're going to suggest?
All I'm telling you is I know where...
Put them in a pipe and smoke them? Yeah. Is that what
they're doing? No, I'm younger than that. But I would just tell you that Brady's got all those rings. The Belichick's the best we've ever seen. I will continue to bet on them until I see them lose multiple games in this spot, Super Bowls or championship games. I will continue to, because I can be the contrary. Like, well, because all we heard, right? Mm-hmm. This station, everywhere else, you know, the Patriots are going the wrong direction. You know, the beginning of the end is here. Until I see that, that's when I'll say that this will be the end of the end. Instead of trying to call it so I can be right, instead of hot taking it, I will tell you when they're bad.
You know we'll who's done? Tiger Woods. That guy will never golf again. Oh, mm-hmm. Wait. Oh, wait. Hold on. Oh, wait. Tiger's playing this weekend? Oh, no. He might be good again? Oh, no.
Come on. I'm hosting tonight. And so I'm just telling you now. I'm just telling you now that I just think that this whole Saints thing and the Saints got screwed and the Saints are whining. Sorry, man, but this happens every week. There's always bad calls. You cannot over-officiate the NFL. And the other thing, too, by the way, is that NFL officials are so afraid now because they're being judged. Yeah. They can't even identify what is a one-yard reception or a touchdown without – I mean, they don't know if they were able to – I'm going to use that phrase. So I was going to use a phrase.
well, listen. The Saints, for all the complaining after the fact, y'all should have ran the ball. But what are you doing throwing the ball? Run the ball and kick the field goal. You win, right? Like, you could have played the football game differently and not allowed it to be down to choice of a ref for not throwing a flag.
Yes.
The current line for the Super Bowl, which is almost a week away, is the Patriots are the favorites by 2.5.
Some of these officials don't even know if they should wind their backside or scratch the watch.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black.
How about that?
That's pretty good.
How about that?
I like that. That's pretty good.
How about that?
You're going to get a Rachel Ray laugh for that.
Oh, I love her.
I know.
Oh, I love her.
You know her show, 30 Minute Meals, or whatever it's called?
Yes.
On Food Network?
Yes.
It's coming back.
Is it really?
They're shooting new episodes.
Oh, wow. I would love to shoot 30 minutes. I should love to shoot a 30-minute episode with her. That'd be great.
Making food, right? Jonathan talks with Tim Anderson of the White Sox next.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black and Jonathan Hood, Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You can follow Jonathan on Twitter at TweetJHood. Myself, Chris Black, at Chris Black. We're here till 9 o'clock. Jonathan, earlier today, you got a chance to catch up with Tim Anderson from the White Sox.
Indeed, Tim Anderson, a terrific young player for this White Sox team. He's over at Sox Fest. I asked him, what's it been like at Sox Fest with the fans?
It's exciting. You know, this is an exciting moment. You know, just kicking it with the fans and kind of being hands-on and showing that we're real. So, you know, all the fans are excited. White Sox making moves that, you know, hopefully we can bring the championship here. So there's a lot of good things going on. Definitely a great weekend.
How's off-season been for you?
It's been great. I've been living a little bit. Been doing a lot of different things, you know, other than baseball. So I try to, you know, I try to keep myself busy, you know, getting back in the swing of things with baseball, but also living a little more outside of the box instead of just doing baseball things.
So a lot of chilling, being with family. What would you tell me what you've been doing?
With the family a little bit. I hang with my boys. I travel a little bit. Man, just really, you know, what comes up. And if I'm open to do it, I do it. So,
how would you define how you played last year?
You know, definitely was a growing season, a learning season as well. I think I finished real strong. I think my defense came a long way. Still have to work on my offense, but I think, you know, that's what I really worked on this offseason. So, man, I think everything's just coming together. You know, I'm older, I'm maturing more, learning the game a lot more. So, you know, not that it's going to come easy, but I get it a lot more than I did. So, things are going good. You know, I feel good, body feel good, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Tim Anderson of the White Sox with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 at the ESPN app. Man, when are you going to leave Daryl Boston alone, man?
I can't. That's my man. I got to give him a hard time all the time, man.
What is that you always be doing? It when you get to first base, man, you always give him the business. Daryl Boston, what's your relationship like with him?
Man, it's like he's like my boy. He's like my boy, man. Like we always joking. You know, he always has good energy. Always have positive vibes. So, you know, and I love positive vibes and good energy. And you know, man, just really having fun. You know, just being you. And you know, that's what we do. We just go out and have fun. And I'm always doing some crazy or hitting them or punching them. So
yeah, I saw him when I was a shorty. I saw him play, Tim, and he had a. Have you seen any of his film? Have you ever seen Daryl play?
Yeah, I've seen some of it. I've seen some of it, but only memory I got was, you know, when he had to rock those glasses that time. He had the big old frames on. It was old school, so I give him a little mess about that.
Man, I'll tell you, back in the day, man, to see Daryl Boston out there and playing center field, playing in the outfield, he had those big old, like, goggles, right? And then, of course, Boss Man, I saw Kenny Williams play when I was a kid, too. Man, that guy was the only football player I ever seen play baseball. That's who he was over at third base. Had you seen any film on Kenny when he played?
I'm not a big baseball, like, I don't really, like, know the history of baseball like that. You know, because I have time to do other things and live a little bit more and not get so wrapped up into the baseball world as far as, you know, knowing everybody's stats and knowing what everybody do. So I kind of, you know, I like to live a little bit and have fun and, you know, enjoy life.
Understood. But you still have to see it, though. I mean, it's a long season.
I'm sure he was the man.
No, baseball, as you well know, you guys got a lot of downtime besides just playing. But I think it's worth to put a VCR, put a VHS film in to see Kenny play. That is, it's interesting to me. It really was something. Would you say that Yoan Moncada, or is there someone else that's your closest friend on the team?
I'm close with everybody. I feel like I'm a little closer with Yomer, though, because our lockers and spring training is always is next door to each other, so it kind of starts there in spring training. And we always joking and having fun and messing with each other. And you just know his personality. You know, he's a clown, and so we always mess around and just have fun.
What is your memory of last year? Is there one memory that stands out to you last year, something that you really enjoyed?
I think when I hit my 20th home run, that was a big moment for me. But as far as, like, fun-wise, I could just say Yomer dumping the Gatorade on himself.
Right.
So, yeah, those would be the two things that I could name off top.
I guess for your standpoint or just any ball player, you want to be able to have goals. Have you thought about here during Sox Fest as you get closer to spring training what a goal is for you, something that you want to do this year that you didn't do last?
Yeah. I'm not a big person that like to share my goals, but you know, the ultimate goal is to be all-star and all of the above. So why not aim for all of them? So, yeah, man, I got goals set out for myself, and, you know, I'm going to achieve them. You know, that's how I want to go about it. I want to achieve my goals and, you know, just put myself in the best situation to be successful with this season. And, you know, just the ultimate goal is just really to have fun. And I think if I have fun, the rest of it will just fall up under the umbrella.
Tim Anderson of the White Sox with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app on Under the Hood. I told you last year, man, yes, I agree with you that you should be able to have fun and be able to enjoy life, breathe a little bit before you get back into putting on the uniform. However, I'm still disappointed that during this winter, I have not heard that you have opened up that Waffle House. I told you. You and I,
man,
both like Waffle House.
We need to get that here. They'll go crazy about that Waffle House out here.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. Like, look at it, man. Think about this. Either at the ballpark or around the neighborhood where Guaranteed Rate is, TA7s, right? I mean, it's right there for you.
TA7s Waffle House.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. That sounds good.
Well, I don't know what – you're sleeping on money right there. You going to just pass on that money?
Yeah, I got to wait a little bit. See, man, I'm in the process of branding myself a little bit more. Let me get a little bit more – let me get my face out there a little bit more. You know, then maybe we can put the Waffle House there that way. So when we put it there, just it'll make a killing.
I'm just saying, man. All you gotta do is just go up to Kenny, just ask for a little bit extra, and he'll go in with you,
man,
on it.
They already treat me good. They treat me good. I can't get greedy now. I can't get greedy and go ask for more. I gotta be thankful for what I got. So. You know, man.
Listen, I'll be there to work on it for you, man. I'll be your marketing guy. From Chicago, as a Sox fan, I will help you. TA7's Waffle House, because as we discussed, I mean, there's nothing like Waffle House, man. There's nothing right. like it. It's no Waffle House up here.
Right. We need it. We need it. It's coming soon. Coming soon. That's a good plan. Coming soon.
I had to drive to St. Louis just to get Waffle House this past summer. That's crazy.
You won't have to make those drives no more. Don't worry about it. We're gonna take care of your TA7's Waffle House.
Market that mug right now, man. Put it up there for sure. So this year you have goals on the field, but also you have to have goals off the field too.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Tim, you and I need to talk privately. You have to understand this city here. I mean, you just have the uniform on, but you just put a Sox uniform on, man. You can get a bar, a restaurant here pretty quickly. This is Chicago.
Yeah, man.
And you're already a hero.
That's where it starts. You know, that's where I work, and that's kind of how I use it. You know, that's why I don't really follow. I don't follow a lot of or try to get too deep into baseball, because it's kind of, you know, man. You don't. If you work at, just say you work at Waffle House, you're not going to be kind of looking up stats about Waffle House. So it's kind of that's kind of how I get away from the game and kind of. Put things in perspective and kind of do more as a person and be out in the city more and just live a little bit more and do other things besides baseball. So I like fashion. I love a lot of music. So
Right. Those
kind of things keep me going, and I get to do different stuff when downtime is around.
Bro, what is a Waffle House stat, man? You mean if you're at the griddle, you're not looking at other Waffle Houses to see how many steaks they sell?
Nah.
I mean, how much hash browns
unless
they sell?
Unless you own it. I mean, I'm not going to look that up unless I own it. So me looking up their numbers, what they're selling, I ain't having my pocket.
Waffle House stats. I wish it was like little Waffle House cards, like baseball cards. You just flip it over like, oh, my God, man. Look how many hash browns they sold last year, man.
Bunch of steaks at this Waffle House on the back of my car.
Oh, man. All right. Lastly, and I appreciate your time, tell me about some of the young players. You're on the big club, but there's a lot of young players that are in the minor league system. Anyone that you're interested in seeing when you get to
everybody's ready to see Eloy.
Yeah.
Everybody ready to see Eloy. Everybody ready to see Cease. Everybody's ready to see everybody. And I think when everybody gets here, it's going to be a great show. You know, man, we got the talent. Everything's falling in the right places where they need to be, and I think we're moving in the right direction. You know, man, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So we're excited. I think we're ready to roll, and you know, we're just going to keep this positive energy going into the season and see what happens.
Tim, as always, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show and looking forward to the season.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's Tim Anderson of the White Sox with Jonathan Hood. You're listening to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood and Chris Black is brought to you by Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. That's NUSports.com for Northwestern basketball.
Thanks to Tim Anderson for joining the show tonight and Sean Powell from NBA.com. Sean Davis produced tonight's show. Chris Black and Jonathan Hood here with you till 9 o'clock on ESPN 1000.
You're like the modern sitcom on network television, rolling the credits now.
Yes.
Even though there's still 8 minutes of programming.
We've got to get it in before the show ends. Okay, Jonathan. So we've been watching all night the Raptors and the Rockets play. The Rockets lead 92-74. It's on ESPN television. Man. Kawhi Leonard, James Harden going back and forth. Harden tonight, 24 points in 25 minutes. He's 8 for 17 from the field. 2 for 6 from three, 6 for 6 from the free throw line. There's 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Does he get to 40 points tonight? He has 24 right now. There's 4:03 left in the third quarter.
I think so, and here's why. Do you realize that 43% of his offense is from step back jumpers? I mean, and so it's one thing to, as a young player, if you're a college player, to mimic the three. But we're seeing this as you and I, as broadcasters for the UIC Flames, watching college basketball across the country here that's coming into UIC. You see kids now trying to do the step back just like James Harden's doing. A lot of his 43% of his offense comes from that. He goes to the basket. He knocks down threes. It would not surprise me if he reaches 40 points. And again, this is a situation where if I am Mike D'Antoni, and I know Toronto's good, but there's sometimes you watch an NBA game, you're like, okay, maybe this is not going to be their night. This is a night where in the middle of the fourth quarter, you pull Harden and let him rest a little bit. But knowing James Harden, he's not going to want that.
You know, if you have the ESPN app, you got the alert. Had alerted you.
Yeah.
Hey, he only had 13 points at the half. That's newsworthy, by the way.
Yes.
You see that? 13 points at the half. You have the push notification from the ESPN app. James Harden only 13 points at the half. He has 24 as they wind down the third quarter. I don't think he gets there.
He might sit down. I don't know. He very well could, because
it would be smart for them to sit him.
The game's out of
fourth.
The game's out of balance. The game's out of hand right now. I don't see a push from Toronto being down 92-74. It's really unbelievable to see, though.
It is. And when was the last time you saw someone dominate the way he has? You know, like you mentioned, kids and who we see in college basketball trying to mimic what Harden's doing with the step back into the 3-point shot. Like everyone was worried about Steph Curry breaking basketball, right? Oh, he's shooting from so far away. He's shooting only threes and all this different stuff that Steph can do. But really, it's Harden that's manipulating the youth of today playing basketball, because you have everyone doing that. 1-2 step. Oh, shot.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's that I pick up the ball, 1 side step, 2 side step, maybe a shimmy, and then a shot.
We saw that with 2 guards last night.
Yes.
Tarcus Ferguson from UIC. We saw it from Antoine Davis, Mike Davis's kid from the Detroit Mercy Ball Club.
Yeah. I mean, it's not traveling either.
No, it's not.
It's a brilliant move, and it's fun to watch, and I don't think he'll get the 40 points or the 50 tonight. But the run has been outstanding, and the Rockets lead 92-79 in the third quarter.
I think it's just tremendous. I enjoy watching James Harden play. We heard from Sean Powell earlier. He's not a big fan because he just thinks there's just too much reliance on the three-pointer. But if you're proficient at knocking down that three, and this is what the Rockets run anyway, it's layups and threes. So they're just running the offense.
Yeah.
I watched the game with the Rockets last week, man. You saw that game, right? Last Saturday night?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rockets were so – it's the worst half they've ever played in basketball history as far as them shooting the ball from the outside. They were able to get it done, though, in the second half and end up winning that ball game.
I was going to say, except for that second half in that game against the Warriors when they lost in Game 7, they went, what, like 2 for 26 from 3?
Well, from a stat standpoint, that
game ruined their summer because they went out and they moved off of Ariza and they kind of changed how the team was ran and everything. And so they're trying to win again this year. I have a question for you, a baseball question. You just talked to Tim Anderson. Did you see the article in the San Diego Union-Tribune earlier today?
I don't think I did.
Reporting that the mystery team after Manny Machado, that mystery team being the San Diego Padres. That was in the San Diego Union-Tribune earlier today.
How about I don't buy it? How about that?
What do you think? What I want to ask you is, what do you think of this mystery team being real or fake put out there to try and put pressure on the White Sox and the other suitors trying to get Manny Machado? What do you think of the chances of the Sox actually being able to land him?
Well, it just makes sense to me that Machado should be able to go to the White Sox based on the White Sox number. Now, here's what I always say about this. Because it's baseball, I just don't believe in giving a baseball player more than a five-year deal worth so much money. Now, listen, I want players to be able to make as much money as possible, but baseball is different from basketball and different from the NFL. To be able to pay one guy to pay dividends for your team to get better, that doesn't work. He's looking at you, Pujols. He's looking at you, yeah. Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez with the Texas Rangers. It's hard, man.
Right.
It's hard to pay that guy that much money, especially with the White Sox. Because what is the White Sox? The White Sox are about walk-up tickets. And yes, you will get some season ticket holders. Yes, you'll get some walk-up tickets. But it's not enough to fill that ballpark, one, or two, get yourself to a World Series championship because you made that one move for a guy for 6-7 years.
So the second part of that is, say the White Sox don't land Manny Machado.
Right.
As a White Sox fan, are you disappointed at this offseason? Or this is the way I view it. I view it as, it would be fantastic if they can land Machado at their price. But if they don't get him, all hope isn't lost for the future, and you'll have a chance to go after free agents in the upcoming years anyway. It's not the end of the world. They're not ready to win right now, so it's not the biggest problem if you don't land Machado.
Remember when the Cubs got John Lester?
Yeah.
I want my Lester as a Sox fan.
Does it have to be this offseason?
Yeah, I would think that the Sox would be ready to start moving in the right direction by 2020. But I mean, remember, Lester was a step up before the Cubs were getting ready to win the World Series. That was the first step, the first domino. I want the Sox to be able to have their Lester. And if that means now, then I'm good with it now. That way, by 2020, 2021, now you're a perennial winner and a chance to win the Division One and to be one of the best teams in the American League. So, yes, I would like to have my guy now, please.
So it's major disappointment if they don't land him.
I just don't know the direction after that. That's why.
The direction is the young kids coming up, and you watch the development of those young players, Eloy and others.
Let's classify it. Not major disappointment, just disappointed that Han has a lot of talk about what they want to do and how they want to be at the table, but yet don't get anyone. You want to get someone that's a step above what you've had.
I've got a name. How about the rumors of Joc Pederson being traded from the Dodgers to the White Sox? Does Joc do anything for you?
Nice piece.
Oh, that's not going to be a
nice piece.
It's not really
nice piece and a nice spelling of the name Joc, J-O-C.
The French spelling?
Yes. That's nice.
Yes.
I don't think that gets over in Bridgeport, but that's fine.
I mean, you could have then your South Side version of Kyle Schwarber, right? I mean, Joc Pederson and Kyle Schwarber, basically the same player, no?
I want my Lester now. Whoever that is, give me my Lester now. That way you're getting ready for Girardi in 2020. I'm sorry.
What time do you want to meet at Credit Union One Arena tomorrow?
1 o'clock for a 3:12 start at Credit Union One Arena in Chicago.
Okay, so we'll get there. We'll watch Shoot Around. We'll get ready for the broadcast. If you can't make it to Credit Union One Arena, you can watch us on ESPN Plus tomorrow. It's right there on your app. ESPN app, go to the plus section. That's where you can find our college basketball games. Jonathan and I, we will be on the UIC against Oakland game tomorrow at 3:12 on ESPN Plus. Jonathan?
Always a pleasure. I think I'll stop by next Friday. How about
really?
That?
That's great.
Fred Free Friday. No.
Black and Hood, we'll talk to you later.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so good.
On ESPN 1000.